Tonight we're talking about confident expectation. This was not my plan to teach on this tonight, but it was God's plan, and somehow His always work out better than mine. We're going to go back to a scripture we used recently from Romans 5 and verse 5, and we're going to use this as our focus point in this teaching tonight. It says, "Now hope does not disappoint." How many of you, since you've been a Christian, have ever been disappointed? Have we all, not all, in some way experienced disappointment? But yet the Bible says that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The word hope leaves a different taste in different types of people's mouths or their minds. To the unrenewed mind, it leaves them with a natural perspective that says, why hope for it? I'll never get it anyway. Have you ever felt that way? Why hope for it? It's never going to be mine anyway. Why hope for it? It's never going to happen to me. Some people seem to express hope as if they're not certain about what is really going to happen to them at any given moment or at some future point in time. Some say, I hope I will win this prize. You ever put in your name and your address and phone number into a box because they're offering a drawing or a sweepstakes of sorts, or maybe it's a grill or whatever the case may be. Buy 5 tickets in the summer and you might win this car and all that sort of stuff. You might say, I hope it won't rain tomorrow. How many of you ever hoped it wouldn't rain? I hope everything works out for me. Doesn't sound like in any of those situations that they really are that confident, except they're really discouraged and confused about what is really going to happen to them. It seems to present the feeling of hopelessness instead of hopefulness. How many know that if you can be hopeful, or you can see that this is really more than even a possibility, is a lot better than those feelings of hopelessness that people have had? This word hope used here in this particular verse, as it states in your notes based on your Strong's Concordance, says it means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. How many have anticipated something? You called it hope, but you anticipated something, but what you were anticipating didn't have a whole lot of pleasure to it. You didn't feel like, man, this, I'm really excited about this, like you were almost expecting or anticipating disaster. How many ever had an accident, went to the doctor, maybe the ER, and you already anticipated that the doctor was going to give you the worst possible report that there was? How many have ever had, let's just get, down to earth with this, a rash or some sort of an irritation, and you just knew the doctor was going to tell you, like, it was really bad, like you got some sort of funky disease going on? It means expectation, abstract or concrete, or confidence or faith. A believer who has a renewed mind, do you understand there are believers whose minds have not been renewed to truth? There are believers that know a couple of scriptures, not really sure whether they believe them. All they know is they were invited to an altar or down to the front at some point in time, or they were in some Bible study or prayer meeting, and somebody said, pray this prayer and you'll receive Jesus. They prayed the prayer. They sort of believe they received Jesus, but they're not really sure about anything else. Well, a believer who has a renewed mind should have thoughts of confident expectation of God. The God kind of hope should leave you anticipating or believing confidently with concrete expectation. What would concrete expectation would be? That would be, I'm absolutely positive this is going to happen to me. Some people wake up, and I get this on Facebook, or I get this on different places, or I've actually heard people say this, I believe something good is going to happen to me today. Oral Roberts began that back years ago, saying that with every TV program. I believe something good is going to happen to me today. Well, how many know that is confident expectation? look in your notes. Well, before we go there, here's the bottom line. A believer should have a confident expectation, anticipating good things from God, which causes you to have thoughts that bring pleasure to your mind. How many ever had thoughts that it didn't feel so good? They didn't bring a lot of pleasure, a lot of peace to your mind. Well, God and His Word, with God there's always pleasure or peace that His Word brings you. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11 from the NIV. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." So who's talking here? The Lord is talking here. And He said, "I know the plans I have for you." You could respond to that and say, "That's a good thing, God, because I don't know the plans you have for me." But how many know if you pick up the book and read it, you'll find some plans that God has for you? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Here's His plans. Plans to prosper you. So there are people who don't believe in that really weird word, prosperity. Everybody say prosperity. Prosperity means having your needs met. Now, it's not just money. We've heard the word being perverted over the years. It doesn't just mean money. But God does plan for you to have money. If you believe, and we're clear on this in this church, if you believe that God does not want you to have money, it's a real simple solution. Give it all away. Get rid of it. Get rid of your house, get rid of your furniture, and go live out on a hillside somewhere. Find a cave. Maybe the Flintstones will be home or something, you know? Plans to prosper you. Now, we're talking about God's plan here. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many know that there are people who believe that God's plan is to harm you? God's going to bring disaster to you so He can teach you something. But let me ask you something. What do you learn if something bad happens to you and you believe it's God? What do you learn from that? Here's what you learn. I'm not going to let you answer. I'm going to answer for you. You learn that God's mean. Oh, no, but God loves me. No, we learn that God is mean and God's doing bad stuff to you just so He can get a kick out of it. Do you know that's what the world sees when Christians believe that kind of stuff? No, God said, "I plan to prosper you and not to harm you." He also said that He plans to give you hope and a future. So God already had a plan in motion that included you having hope and a future. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a future, what does the word future or the concept of future as in time, what does a future have to do with hope? Without hope, many do not have a future. Without hope, many do not see any good coming to them down the road or in the future. Bible hope, you ready for this? Bible hope is a confident or a positive expectation of good. Well, no, I'm a spirit-filled believer and I'm believing for bad. Well, that's not a positive expectation of good. That's called a positive expectation of bad. I'm positive bad's coming to me. I'm positive it's going to get worse. I'm positive that even as I am sick now, I am positive that I'm going to become sicker at some point in the future. The way I feel right now, the truth is the symptoms that I have, I know because I've seen somebody else do it and they told me about it. I know that a week from now, I'm going to be in the hospital. I know because I have the same symptoms. Well, what that is speculation. And you know, when we were talking about recently about 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, one of the translations we used, now I think it was the Amplified, one of the translations we used actually talked about capturing speculation. We just speculate stuff. You know what? That's not, you know, we're not that smart to speculate all them bad things. That is the devil. That's lies. And so he will lie trying to get you off on some, you know, confident and positive expectation of bad. See, and God gets the blame. Isn't that amazing? Well, the church ought to quit blaming God for stuff that the devil's doing. And the devil ought to quit, we ought to quit believing the devil's taking credit for the stuff that, you know, God's doing, because the devil can't do you no good. The devil had messed you around by lying to you. So why should we expect good things? Someone would say this, why expect good things? I've never seen anything good happen. I heard someone recently tell me, I've never seen any good thing happen. It's always been bad. Well, you know what? We need to change our level of expectation. So we should expect good things instead of just going around with the flow of whatever will be, will be. You ever done that? People have said, you know what? I'm not going to believe God. Whatever's going to happen is just going to happen. Matter of fact, you know, I have a little saying, and I don't think it originated with me, but it kind of goes like this. I believe it. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Haven't used it in a long time. I believe it. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. One man really got on to me about that, and here's what he said to me. He said, God said it, and whether I believe it or not, it's settled. Well, that is a true statement, isn't that right? You don't have to be involved in what God said. It's still the truth. It's still a fact. But what benefit do I get out of a fact that I don't believe in? You see? Okay, so because God said it, it's not enough. I've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. All right, so there's that attitude of whatever will be, will be. I mean, I just go with life and go with the flow and just whatever happens, happens. That's a really sad way to live. All right? And so why is that? Why does God want us to expect good things? It's because you're God's child, number one. How many of you understand you're God's child? You are God's child. So God wants His... But how many of you have children would say this, I am expecting the very worst for my children. I'm going to make sure that I do not take care of them. Probably they'll get taken away, but I'm not going to take care of them. I don't want anything good to happen to them. Just bad's going to happen to my kids. And you know where we get that from is we get it because that's our perception of God. But God is not like that. God wants us to expect good. Why would God, the creator of the universe, why would God want us to expect good? Well, because He is capable of handing out good. And as a matter of fact, if you look into the good and the bad slot, you can't find God giving out of the bad slot. Okay, it's only good. So quit looking there because God's not in that doctrine. You have so one, you're God's child. Two, He favors you. Did you know God favors you? You know, we all have seen parents or grandparents that have favored a particular child. Maybe you were one of Grandma's favorites. Maybe you were Grandma's favorite and not even an only child. And, you know, you could actually look at that as an example, although that's not a very good example. And you could say, you know what? Because I see the concept in a greater way, I see that God favors me. I am His favorite. Everybody say, I'm God's favorite. All right, now turn to your neighbor and tell him I'm God's favorite. Don't nobody get into an argument. So number one, you're God's child. Number two, He favors you. You have His favor. And I want to tell you how you have God's favor. Are you ready for this? This is how you can know that you have God's favor. You have His favor. Here's how you got it. By grace or by favor, you have been saved through faith. So I believe that I have received what God has given to me, and that is His favor, and I am His child. Now let me give you two perspectives. These may not be the ones you would use, but these are the ones I felt like God directed me to use. Isn't it amazing how the different ministers have different insights in the Word of God or perspectives and how we present things? Well, in the Old Covenant, Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you?" So let me ask you the question, who created who? God created us. He said, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. There is a scripture in John chapter 10. We're not using that tonight, where Jesus says that He knows us by name. He knows His sheep. The shepherd knows His sheep. So here we see that it is God who created us. It says, and he who formed you, so we got to ask again, who formed who? This is not a who came first, the chicken or the egg type thing. It's a who formed who. Well, God formed us. We couldn't create ourselves and couldn't form ourselves. And of course, he's talking to Israel here, but I believe now this is a now word to all believers. And he said, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't raise your hand or shake your head or shrug or anything, but how many of you have fear issues? You deal with fear over various things. The other day, well, it's been several weeks ago, we were in a place. I cannot tell you any details. We were in a place, and there was a group of people. We were standing there talking, and I was watching about 4 feet away, and there was one of the largest spiders that I have seen. And he just stayed at bay, and I was watching him, and I believe he knew I was watching him. And so these people are talking. These people are talking. No one's paying attention. And so I just thought, okay, this is long enough. I said, so I interrupt the conversation, just, you know, how you can just slide a word in and say, so what are you going to do about that? And, of course, it was taken care of. But do you know that some people, that would be a very frightful thing? You know, when there's a wasp that stings you, and you know that if it stings you, you swell up big, take care of the wasp. You have authority over pests, or the Bible may call them creeps. So you have authority over creeps. but he said, fear not, fear not. I cannot say, be afraid of this and don't be afraid of that. I can't find a category where fear is okay. You understand? I know there's that. Let me just say it this way: there's all fear is natural. In other words, it comes through our human psyche, and people are afraid of different things at different times. Usually, my level of fear comes to do with when I'm walking out my office door and I had no idea that Barbara's standing right there about to open my door. Other than that, stuff don't bother me. I mean, it really doesn't. Yes, you're right. But God said, fear not. Now, why should we not fear? He said, for I have redeemed you. Now, again, talking about Israel, so this is before the cross, but still, I'm pulling this into the new covenant tonight. He said, I have redeemed you. Have we been redeemed? Amen. One song says, an old hymn says, by grace divine, by his blood. He said, I have called you by your name. Do you think God knows your name? As a matter of fact, if you're bent on, you know, that new name written down in glory, well, he knows that name too, even if you don't. So God knows your name. And he ends this verse by saying, you are mine. Do you belong to God? Now, I'm not asking you if this is back in the slave days and you belong to some master. I'm asking you, do you belong to God? Because, you see, if you belong to someone, then everything that tries to get to you has got to get to the one that owns you first. Anybody hearing this? Do you understand you have a protector? Do you understand you have one that, if I was playing football, which I'm not, and if I were interested, which I'm not, no offense to the football fans, even if you did wear a Green Bay Packers shirt tonight and a Rams shirt tonight, just to offend the Bears fans in the house. But we're not a church of offense. We're a church that forgives quickly. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if that were the case, you understand that if I were a defensive tackle, I believe is the correct terminology, then I'm going to protect that one behind me, okay, the quarterback. All right, so my job is to go through the line, stop them big bullies. Whatever the position is, God knows what I mean by it. Silence! Yes, that's the one. That's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant to say. Offensive tackle. Amen. Praise you, Lord, for the vast knowledge of football that I haven't got a clue about. You are mine. So we're protecting somebody. So we have someone who is our offensive tackle at all times. Yet we don't trust the offensive tackle because we're better at the job. That's not true, is it? We're not better at the job. Okay, so he said, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Backing up, because we are his, that's a good reason not to fear. That's an excellent reason not to fear. So what can we be afraid of? Well, we don't have enough finances to meet all of our obligations. So we then have to decide, am I going to fear or am I going to trust the one who I belong to? And so we can be moved to fear. There can be a variety of things that we could talk about tonight as to what would logically sound like a good reason to fear. But keep in mind, we belong to the Lord. So even though this word was to Israel, I believe it's a now word for us today. This passage of Scripture also is a promise of protection. How many of you believe that you have a promise of protection? It's also a word of deliverance for God's people. How many believe we have deliverance? Amen. Whatever you need to be, and that doesn't mean being demon-possessed. Oh, I have deliverance. I can get free. You know what? You already have authority over demons, okay? And if you don't exercise it, then, we'll talk to you about that. However, you have deliverance from the stuff that tries to come at you. You have deliverance from the lies of the enemy. You have protection from disaster. Matter of fact, when I've begun to pray a little broader about Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But when I pray for protection, I've even begun to name, I have protection from storms and disastrous situations. I begin to name some stuff that people wouldn't expect. You know those things you don't expect to happen that you never address that sometimes do happen? I begin to name those things because I expect them not to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I'm expecting some things never to come to my door. Why? Every day I'm calling it out. You say, is all that necessary? Well, my answer is real short and simple. Yes. All right, let's go on to the New Covenant in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Now, you have to understand this is a very broad passage, and I don't want to get this out of the context of the passage, but he says here, for you were bought with a price. How many know you were bought with a price? It is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus purchased you. So apparently, we do belong to someone. We have an old covenant promise, a word about it, and now we have a new covenant word that says you were bought with a price. So you belong to someone. So there must be somebody running offensive tackle for you. There must be somebody, Big Brother Jesus, who will stand in a dark alley and watch over you as long as you think there's any danger around, but you're not going to fear. Why? Because I have Jesus with me. All right, so he says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now again, this passage of Scripture was dealing with sexual immorality and some other things. And so God's trying to say, look, use your body to glorify me. And he said, 'cause remember, you were bought with a price. Well, you know what? I've been thinking about this word today. And when you come to understand, to an understanding of the fact, everybody say it's a fact. The fact that you were purchased by the blood of Jesus, you will come to realize that you now belong to God. And with that understanding, it becomes easy to submit to the lordship of Jesus. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. If I'm going to make Jesus Lord, then I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to have a care. I'm not going to have a concern. And if one rolls in, I'm going to roll it right out on Jesus. Anybody hearing that? If a thing comes in that causes me to feel like I got to be concerned about it, it rolls in, I'm going to roll it right out over on Jesus. It's his problem. All right? And so that is what happens when you decide to make him Lord. And again, let me say it, and it's a common belief in this house that we don't just make Jesus Lord 15 years, 2 months, and 6 days, and 2 hours ago. No, I did it once, yes, but I need to do it every day. Why? It's a decision. Do I need to get salvation every day? No. But making him the Lord of my life every day. Jesus, there's some stuff that really got to me yesterday, and I'm telling you this morning, you are the Lord of my life, and we're not going that route this time. Today, we're not having that. You are the Lord of my life. So I just reconsecrate, or I recommit, or I just reaffirm the idea or the thought that you are the Lord of my life. Why, Jesus? Because you purchased me with your own blood. Therefore, I'm going to glorify you with my body and my spirit, which belong to you. We are to glorify God with our entire being, which are God's. So think about all the things that you do in the day, all the things you... I've got some wonderful revelations to share with you in just a moment or two. Think about all the things you do in your day. All right, trace your day out. All right, I know what happened yesterday, and the same thing happened today, and the same thing went on 2 days ago. I got up. I wasn't in a very good mood when I got up. And I wasn't about to make any decisions that I was going to be in a good mood today. I know this is the day the Lord has made, but you know what? I just don't feel like declaring that right now because I'm not in a very good mood. Now remember who you belong to. But all of a sudden now I'm making my own decisions. I'm deciding to go a different direction than the one that I should be going because I made Him Lord. And whether we like it or not, making Him Lord makes Him boss. I submit, as long as I stay yielded. How many know that I can take that back anytime? I can say, I don't want you to be the boss. I'm going to be in control. I'm in charge today. And boy, you get a smile on your face, throw your shoulders back. I feel good. I'm in charge today. Well, good luck with that. I'd rather go His way and have good blessing with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was hesitant about saying that, but I thought, no, that just fits real good. A very humanistic way to look at things. And so we are to glorify God with our entire being. If we glorify God with our entire being, it's not just with our bodies. How many know there are some things we could do to not glorify God? There's a lot of things we could do to glorify God, but it's not just with our bodies. How about with our minds? Can we glorify God with our minds? Can we think about some real smutty, ugly stuff and not glorify God with our minds? Well, of course. But we make decisions about as to what we think about, right? We know how to handle it with the Word. All right, let's take it just a little bit further where it not only affects you, but it affects everybody around you. How about do we need to glorify God with our mouths? Well, you know what, Pastor? I just got mad, and it just came out. I wish I could take it back, but, you know... Better whip out an Isaiah 54:17 on that one. Every word that rises up against me in judgment, every known word and unknown word, even if it comes out of my mouth, I cannot throw that thing down. I condemn that word. I didn't hear nobody else say it, but it came out of my mouth. We need to glorify God with our mouths. Well, can we do things with our mouths that do not glorify God? Oh, man. How about if we're real sweet talkers, but we just... get into an argument with someone and we just say some really mean and hateful things and you know, you'll just say, you know, I really didn't mean that. Do you know what? I've done that before. And you know what kind of answer I got back? Well, it came out of your mouth. But you know I didn't mean it. It came out of your mouth. We need to glorify God with our mouths. Now, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message to let you know that you have hope. You can make some choices to make Jesus your Lord every single moment of your life and keep Him Lord. So, in other words, our entire being, with our entire being, we should conduct ourselves in a way that gives honor to the one we belong to. That's the point I wanted to conclude that section with or that scripture with. We make decisions to give honor to the one we belong to. I'm glad that I belong to someone. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off. You know, when I got to handle my life by myself, even though I'm married, if I got to handle something by myself, even though I've got a church elders, but if I got to handle something by myself, you know, just because I appear to have big shoulders doesn't always mean I do. You got to handle a problem at your job by yourself. You know, none of that's true. You ever deferred something to somebody else? Not my problem, I defer it to you. Well, you ever did that to God? You know, Lord, if I handle this, I know probably what I'm going to do. I know probably how I'm going to handle it. I'm deferring this one to you, Jesus. You hearing what I'm saying? All right, now, Colossians 1, verse 27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ is in me, the hope of glory. All right, so you have Christ in you. He lives in us. We just got through talking about that on Sunday. And He is the hope of glory. Amen? And so you can have a confident expectation. Everybody say, confident expectation. You can have a confident expectation that the glory of God will shine into and upon every area of your life, which includes your family. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know about family. Which includes your family. It includes your job. It includes your ministry. It includes your health. It includes your finances. Well, you know, Pastor, I can have a confident expectation about this area, but them other areas, I just can't even believe that I have to deal with that stuff. You can have a confident expectation. You ever had someone you were trying to share Jesus with and trying to get them just to come to church and just check it out? I mean, everybody thinks this is such the greatest church in town. We're a young and a growing church and a lot of things going on. And people say, you know, it's the greatest church in town. And, you know, you ought to just come check it out. And they won't come and you just, like, get aggravated. It's like, oh, they're never going to come to church. And, you know, you can have a confident expectation about those that are not going to church. You can believe God for them and just keep your good testimony up. Smile every time you get around them. Don't grit your teeth. It's a fact that if you keep gritting your teeth, you'll grind them down into the nerves. I know that's a true fact, not because I've done it, but because I've seen and known someone that did it. All right, let's go on to Psalm 68, verse 19, because I've been waiting all day to get to this verse. Oh, this is good. It said, blessed be the Lord. Everybody say, blessed be the Lord. Who daily loads us with benefits. Now we got a problem right there. We got a belief mishap here, because I can't believe that God daily loads me with benefits. What are benefits? Well, I got sick the other day. That's not a benefit. That's under the curse. You understand, that's a curse. Read your Bible. Well, the other day I got this. My bank account all of a sudden was empty. I forgot I spent this money, and now I don't have any money. That's not a benefit. Being broke is not fun. Anybody here say it's fun? The Bible says He daily loads us with benefits. And then in the New King James it says, the God of our salvation. Now, I want to give you some definitions real quick, because I believe this is going to bless you. Because a lot of folks, when they think about daily being loaded with benefits, there's this one point in the day, okay, you know about, and somebody has said this, you know about every day about 2 o'clock, something good happens to me. Do you know why that is? Because you believe every day about 2 o'clock, something good's going to happen. What about all the rest of the 23 and whatever, you know? I don't know about that. All right, well, look at the word daily. It means from one sunset to the next, right out of your Strong's Concordance. From one sunset to the next. I mean, the 24-hour cycle. God's always wanting to give you benefits. God's always wanting to bless you. Well, anybody interested tonight here in 24-hour blessings? After 24 hour, after 24 hour, day after day, from one sunset. I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's God's opinion. Right out of the Bible. All right? The word loads. He daily loads. Loads is a single word, and it means to load. Now don't get all shook up by this, because I'm going to tell you about this. It says to load. That is impose a burden. There's a positive and a negative. Just hang with me. Or figuratively, infliction, not affliction. Infliction or heavy. Something God wants to impose a blessing on you that conflicts with humanistic thinking. And so sometimes our mind says there's no way. As a matter of fact, if you've ever watched somebody that's blessed, and no matter what they do, every time they turn around, just a blessing happens. Every time they have a physical situation, a healing instantly manifests. I mean, it's just going on for them. And in our human minds, we say, that's not real. Oh, I want to tell you how real that is. It is so real, it's right. And so, God wants to load you, and He even wants to impose what you might call a burden, but it's really a blessing. God wants to impose benefits on you. Why would God want to impose benefits on you? Well, because really my belief system's kind of haywire, and I really don't believe God just blesses all. At some point in time, God's got to give me a good firm spanking. I remember when we were talking about grace one time, And I'll never forget that I asked what grace means to you, and Ron gave us the definition. It means that God gave me a hug even though I deserved a spanking. That's grace. I will never forget that. And so God wants to impose or inflict, not afflict, blessings. And the last word used here is heavy. God really wants to dump some stuff on you. I had a preacher one time that he said, God spoke to him and said, why don't you just kick back and just let me bless you? Isn't it true that sometimes we can fight God's blessings by the words that come out of our mouth, by the things that we believe? All right, so God wants to bless us. Now, this phrase that starts after loads, the phrase with us with benefits, and then starts the God. That's reworded a little different in other translations. But that whole phrase comes from an unused root word meaning to twist, by implication, be strong. The body as being rolled together, also powerful, mighty, or strength. You say, that just doesn't make any sense. Well, the scripture I thought of that would go along with this in the New Testament was Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Now, give here, if you'll read the context of the passage, if you give mercy, you'll get mercy in return. If you give kindness, you get kindness in return. If you give love when you really wanted to give someone a smack upside the head, but you give love, love comes back. I mean, whatever you give out is just going to keep on coming back to you. Well, we can also apply that to finances, although it's unfortunate that for many years this verse has only been used for money. And it's been used as a ploy to say, if you'll give, you'll get it back. God will just give you more. Just go ahead and give. Just give till it hurts. Well, sometimes people give themselves into ruin. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with giving. I mean, my goodness, it takes money to run a church. Does it take money to run your household? All right. And so, but nonetheless, it says give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. And so I related that definition to this verse, how that it means to the benefits of God means to twist. God wants to just twist it all up. He wants to give it to you in a strong way, rolled all up together, powerful, mighty, and strength. I mean, God really wants to bless us. Daily loads us with benefits. Daily, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, there's your first problem. I don't believe that. Well, I'm just giving you what the Bible says. I'm not trying to give you nothing more than that. So God wants to load you with His blessings or with His benefits, and here's how much you can have. As much as you are willing to believe Him for. Well, how blessed do you want to be? Well, I'm believing for a whole lot. Matter of fact, as I pray, and I know this will cause some problems in some places, trusting that it will not cause any problems here, but one of the things I pray when I'm praying over our finances, I declare that I'm rich. Now, I don't mean I'm rich in that I see a Rolls Royce picking me up to bring me to church. And I'm wearing $1,000 suit. No, that's not what I mean by rich. You know what? Rich is having all your needs met and having to never believe for something to be met. Do you know that God wants to just pour blessings on us? Do you know why a lot of times, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this, it's not in my notes, I didn't study this, but a lot of times I believe why blessings are hindered from coming to us is because we're fighting so hard to get them. What do you got to fight over what belongs to you? The Bible said, not only in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, that He said all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. That's not fighting for them. It's the will of God in motion. They just overtake you. It's like when I ran track, there were times that I was able to overtake a runner, but there were times that runners overtook me. And it wasn't something I willed, wasn't something I desired, wasn't something I was struggling to let happen, but somebody just passed me up, sometimes like I was just standing there. Blessings come on you and overtake you. Well, its New Testament counterpart is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The word added means basically the same thing we read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. They'll just come on you to overtake you. They will just be automatically added to you without struggling for it. We could go to Matthew 6 tonight, and I could read you where Jesus says, why do you worry about these things? Don't you know that I'll take care of it? Don't you know I'm watching over you? If you worry about it, will it actually change your situation? Well, the answer is no. We always say no to that question, and then we go right back to worrying. No, don't worry about it, because we're talking about having a confident expectation tonight. So let me ask you, do you have a confident expectation that God is constantly blessing you? Well, I don't see it. Didn't ask you what you saw. I said, do you believe that God is constantly blessing you? In other words, there's some stuff coming to you and God's doing it. Why? I have confident expectation. What is confident expectation? I am confident that God knows how to take care of me, and I don't have to struggle for it. Worry hinders blessing. Struggling for it hinders blessing. As a matter of fact, I find no scriptural calling for the body of Christ to struggle. I mean, I wish I did so I could pet a few feelings, church, but I don't. I find a calling for the church to enter into His rest. Not just rest, His rest. And there is a difference between natural saying, okay, I'm not worried. I'm not worrying. Okay, I'm not worrying. I'm about to have a nervous wreck. Bring me a Valium or something. I'm not worrying. I'm not worrying. I'm not. Well, yes, you are. I said enter into His rest. Let Him take care of it. I hope this is all right tonight. All right, now. So let me ask you, do you believe that God is providing or has provided healing, protection, favor, and more for you? Do you believe they belong to you? Well, if they belong to you, why are we fighting to get them? You don't have to struggle. Just kick back and let God bless you. Just declare His promises, declare what His Word says, and let Him do it. We started with a verse that said, now hope does not disappoint. Of course, we know this is not human hope, not natural hope. It must be the God kind of hope. It does not disappoint. Well, then why am I so disappointed so much? Because I entered into human hopes, and I just hope it's going to get here, but I know it's really not. I hope God didn't let me down, but I know He really is. You don't have to admit you ever felt that way. I have. Hope does not disappoint. Why does hope not disappoint? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you may have been disappointed in the past. Think just for a moment, not to bring you into a place of depression. That's not what we're all about. But think about something that you were recently disappointed concerning. And maybe you've recently been disappointed concerning things you've hoped for. But there is a hope that does not disappoint. There is a hope that will not let you down. When you are more conscious of your lack, and by the way, here's a word about being conscious about something. This is not a definition that I drummed up anywhere except I just heard this. Here's what being conscious about lack or sickness or whatever is. Here's the definition. Always thinking about it. Always thinking about it. That's all I can think about. I'm just so sick, I can't think about anything else. You know, I'll tell you a good thing to be thinking about. Getting well. I'm hurting. I can't think about it. Here's something good to think about. Not hurting. It's a mess, and my doctor says I'm really bad, and, you know, my doctor's always right. I got the best doctor in town, and you may have the best doctor in town, but that don't make them right, especially when it's in opposition to what the Word of God says. So God says that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, yet we are got this pain thing going on. Well, let me just say this. When you're more conscious of lack, or you're more conscious of sickness, or this could be the case too, you did a no-no, you did a sin, and your mind's just thinking about it. Man, what I did. I mean, all I can think, I get pictures, I get dreams, I get visions. I mean, I just get these really sweaty chills thinking about how bad I did. And you will find yourself as one who finds life's benefits, which is not much of a benefit, you'll find it hopeless. You'll see yourself as in a hopeless situation. We do sickness that way. I'm not getting better, and we start feeling hopeless, like it's never going to change. But yet you and I both know during that time what we ought to be doing is saying what the Word of God says. You can lay there, and if you're groaning because you're hurting so bad, then every other groan say, I believe. You'll sound like an old-time Pentecostal preacher if you do that, by the way. I believe. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you can say that. I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. You say that doesn't make any natural sense. Yes, but it makes a whole lot of Bible sense. You can say, but it doesn't agree with my pain. You're not supposed to agree with your pain. You're supposed to agree with the Word of God. Hallelujah. So when you're more conscious of how much God loves you, because He did say, hope does not disappoint because the love of God. And so being more conscious of how much God loves you, what happens when you do that, your believing is energized. I don't know if I'm in faith or not, but man, I got some hope. My believing is energized because I stopped looking at my own situation long enough to take a glimpse of how much God loves me. And now I see, yes, God loves me. Everybody say, God loves me. And now that I see that, my believing is energized. And your hope now springs from the heart of God instead of your human hope, out of the heart of God who loves you unconditionally. Because even when we mess up, God loves us unconditionally. His position of love does not change. Well, if that's true, then even when you're sick, God loves you unconditionally. Even when you're temporarily broke, God loves you unconditionally. He loves you. Now, as we read this scripture in Romans 5, the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans is right here, and it's connected to the love of God. We're five chapters now into Romans, and the first mention of the Holy Spirit is connected to the love of God. The book of Romans is considered, and I don't care what denomination you come from, it's foundational for all believers. If we know one thing, we got to teach new believers the book of Romans, right? And wasn't that the basic fundamental beliefs of a church coming up, is we got to teach people the Romans road. We got this Romans road. If you go down this Romans road, man, you'll get the basics down. It could be the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to get established in our hearts is that God loves people. But do you know the concept the church has got, the revelation the church has got? We had to pray long and hard to get this revelation that God loves the church. While true, we need to adjust that, folks, and say, God loves people. As a matter of fact, the Bible does not say in John 3:16, for God so loved the church that He gave His only begotten Son. Couldn't possibly be. You know why? There was no church then. For God so loved the world. Every heathen, every hateful, mean person that you know that refuses to accept Jesus Christ, that refuses to come to church with you, that just has become a thorn in your flesh because you let them. Am I preaching real good? and who just bugs the daylights out of you and you can hardly stand. Jesus was sent to die for them. God loved them enough. So God really does love people. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. God really does love people. And many people think that the Holy Spirit has come to teach us only about power. So the Baptists, can I talk about Baptists for a moment? How many former Baptists we got in the house? Come on, Baptists. Woo! Man, we're outnumbered. Oh, dear Jesus. What are we going to do? They're surrounding the wagons around us. Get out your bows and arrows. And so that was the Romans Road thing. I had more Bible tracts from Baptists on the Romans Road, you know, get these four truths down. But you know what we Pentecostals did is we wanted to tell everybody about power. Well, did you know that many people think that's why the Holy Spirit came, what He came to teach us was about power? Well, can I share a truth to you tonight? He has come not to reveal the love of power, but the power of love. The Holy Spirit did not come to reveal the love for power, but the power of love. There is power in loving people. Even the ones that have really messed you around, that have really bugged you, that treated you wrong in business deals, did you know you can love them? It's not because your ability to love is so great, but it's because of He who loves you perfectly. Hallelujah. So let me talk to you just a moment in closing about what have you lost in life? Think about something that you've lost, was taken away from you, you lost it, that was dear, near and dear to you, that was important to you. What have you lost that has left you now with a need today? Well, let me ask you this. Did you know that in spite of that loss, can you say these words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so? Well, no, I can't, because I'm just too mad right now. I'm too upset over the loss. I'm too focused on the loss. No, I can't say that. I know the song, though, pretty good song, but I'm just too mad right now. Well, in spite of what you've lost, God can turn that around, and God can bless you with more. God can bless you. Can you say, I believe that I will get a better job tomorrow? Might have lost one today, but a better one's coming tomorrow. Well, no, can't see it. I'm too upset about the one I lost today. And that's where we throw hope aside. Lost my job. Can't you understand what I'm saying? I lost my job. I mean, won't you sit down with here? We're going to have a party. It's called a pity party, but I lost my job. You're invited, by the way. All those who love pity parties are invited. All you encourage people, stay away. I lost my job. But when you can say, praise God, I believe I'll get a better one tomorrow, you're having a confident expectation. Can you say, my pain, my body is in pain today, but I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus right now. I'm not believing it will be better tomorrow. It's hurting today, but I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus today. And we could go on and on and on with this scenario, but I think you're getting the point. There's some stuff we lose or that messes with us that could become our total focus. And then we lose sight of our picture. Remember the picture, and I actually have Josiah had made me a graph. We'll not pull it up tonight, where the big circle of Jesus in the middle. And we're going to not make this as spiritual as we do other things. Outside the circle is another little circle that says, lost my job. Another circle that says, sick all the time. Another circle that says, my family was always sick, so it's probably going to be too. Another circle that says, all my relatives do is fight. Another circle, and the circles go on and on and on, all these negative things. But still, right in the center, there's Jesus. So I did it that way to show you that even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of some junk going on, you haven't forfeited Jesus. He's willing to hang with you, and He is the most important item in the picture. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. When you believe that God loves you, you can have a positive expectation of good. We have hope that does not disappoint. Say, I have hope that does not disappoint me. The reason I have hope is because the love of God has been poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to me. I want to tell you something we should be careful of. Not to lay any kind of fear on you, but we should be careful of what we hope for. Because if you have a confident expectation of bad, you just may get it. Anybody found that to be true? I believe it's bad. Always been bad. You ought to see my family. It's always been bad. We've always been, you ever heard this one? We've always been poor. We always will be poor. We'll die poor. Well, you know, as Jesus would have said, I'm just agreeing with Jesus, as your faith is, so be it unto you. But that's not what the Word of God says. Isn't it amazing how God wants to bless people and they just come up with all these really dumb confessions They don't realize it's of faith, but it is. Well, let me just say this, that what if you were to continue every single day, every moment, if you have to write yourself a note, tape it around your wrist, whatever the case may be, have a constant expectation of good. What if we did that? Every day, I believe, Oral Roberts had the right idea about it. I believe something good is going to happen to me today. What if you woke up and the first thing out of your mouth was, I believe something good is going to happen to me? Everybody say, I believe something good is happening to me right now. What if you made that your confession multiple times a day? Because whatever you expect to have from God is what you will end up getting. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.